listening to PetLifeRadio.com. New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Step onto the sexy streets of animal attraction that is New York City. Welcome to Pets in the City, Life in the Urban Jungle. Join host Diane West as she explores the exciting lives, loves, and laments of the people and pets in the world's greatest city. Pets in the City, like the city itself, has something for everyone. Celebrity pet sightings, pet events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So get ready to get dressed to the canines and take a bite out of the Big Apple with your Pets in the City host, Diane West.
Hello, all you cyber cats, kittens, canines, and critters under all creation. This is Diane West coming at you once again from the greatest city in the world, hands down, and that would be New York City. What another episode of Pets in the City on Pet Life Radio. Well, as you can imagine, New York City, not only being the greatest city, is also one of the largest and most eclectic cities in the world. And with all the animals and people that we have here, we need someone to keep them safe. We need a lot of someone's to keep them safe. But one of them I happen to have the honor of having on our show today is Officer Joe Pentangelo, who is the Assistant Director of Humane Law Enforcement for the ASPCA right here in New York. You may know Officer Joe Pentangelo, who is Assistant Director of Humane Law Enforcement for the ASPCA, from Animal Precinct, where he appeared with his partner, Anne-Marie Lucas, on Animal Planet. And you can still see that show once a week. And I am talking with Joe today about some of the work that he does and some of the more notorious things that you may have heard of in the news recently, and what his take is on that in terms of animal cruelty and why people do some of these awful things that they do. So welcome to our show, Officer Pentangelo.
Well, thank you. There to get the word out.
Well, now right before the show, you were just telling me you're coming fresh off a job last night in Manhattan. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there was a case that a person reported to the ASPCA, and which is the most important part. You know, animals can't speak for themselves, and it's important for people to get involved when they suspect animal cruelty, whether it's neglect or overt cruelty. But at any rate, someone called the ASPCA and said that there was a person who had apparently fallen on hard times, who was homeless, and they did have several animals with them, and the animals appeared to be very thin, and the person suspected they may have been neglected. So the ASPCA responded. It was on 50th Street in Manhattan, and the person who was the subject admitted that they were having a hard time caring for the animals and feeding the animals as a result of their hard luck, that they were homeless, and it wasn't a situation where it was intentional cruelty, but he agreed that the animals would be better off not sharing his problems of being homeless and being up against it financially. So they were taken to the ASPCA's animal hospital for medical supervision. Blood work will be done to see if they're just thin from not eating or whether there's some other underlying medical problem. But at any rate, the public was concerned about it. The ASPCA responded, like we do many times, and have been doing since 1866, and hopefully the animals will be in a better place, and so will the person who's fallen on hard times.
Now, Officer Pentangelo, have you been seeing more of that since the downturn in the economy? People just, you know, who may otherwise love their animals and just not being able to care for them as much as they can?
I don't think New York has seen as much. We haven't had a real dramatic spike in cases like that. I think other places in the country have. I've been reading about and seen news reports of horses being abandoned in more rural places, and a spike in the amount of animals surrendered to shelters in other places in the country. To answer your question, I think we've seen a little bit more, but not, luckily not as much as other places in the country.
Now, one interesting thing here, I don't know, actually I think I've seen it like in places like San Francisco and such. I've seen a few homeless people here, or allegedly homeless, let's say, but I will take the benefit of the doubt that they're homeless, that seem to do have animals with them. I mean, now that's not necessarily a case where you guys would come in and take the animal if you saw a homeless person with the animal,
no,
right?
No, I mean, people, you know, people are entitled to have pets as long as the pets aren't suffering and aren't negatively impacted. You know, the people do have the same rights. The only time the ASPCA would get involved if it's an issue of animal cruelty. So if someone were panhandling with an animal, for instance, as long as the animal were well cared for, it's really not something that the ASPCA is able to make a decision about legally. We've had people who lived in automobiles and people who were down on their luck for various reasons and take their animals with them, but still manage to provide food, water, and shelter for their animals. And it's really not a situation where we can make a judgment and judge other people by what other standards may be. So as long as you are providing food, water, medical attention, shelter for your animal, whether you're whatever your situation is, it's as long as it's not a situation where the animal is suffering for it, it's really not something the ASPCA gets involved in.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask you that, because I know you must have some people that call you who are obviously, you know, I'm going to say very well-intentioned, but perhaps a little bit, shall we say, overzealous to call and report a case of animal cruelty. So, I mean, I was wondering if you could perhaps give our listeners a checklist, or, you know, a mini checklist of things that they look for if they suspect an animal is in need of intervention.
Well, one of the things is if you see an animal that's thin, an animal that's ribs are, in the case of most four-legged animals, ribs are showing, and you can see the bony parts of the spine, the ridges on the animal's back, discharge coming from an animal's eyes, limping. Those are all signs of pretty much what could be either neglect in the form of not being fed or having been abused or having a medical condition that renders the animal in need of medical intervention. Naturally, animals sometimes their coats suffer as a result of dietary lacking or some other problem. So if you see an animal that has patches of missing hair, or animals that need immediate intervention, like pets that are locked in a car with the windows closed and its temperatures are extreme, or an animal outside with no shelter. There is a shelter law in New York, even if the animal hasn't suffered from not having shelter. If there is no shelter and the pet is kept outside, that's a violation of the law that the ASPCA is happy to address. So if you think you see something, I just want to say, if you think you see something, report it. You can either report it to the ASPCA or to the police or to 311, but one thing I don't want people to do is be overly cautious and regret having not made a report, you know, because they're worried about they may not have all the elements they need for cruelty. Because I'd rather go out to a case where it's a well-intentioned person has made a mistake and we find out it is indeed not a case. I'd rather have that than an animal suffer because somebody was hesitant to call.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it is important for people to get involved. But those are the things you should look for. Those are the weather vane or the smoking gun that usually indicates there's some sort of a problem, either a problem where the animal's not being fed or hydrated, or they have an underlying medical problem. We've had cases where one of them was featured on Animal Precinct where someone called up and alleged that a dog was being starved. The dog looked like a walking skeleton with just skin draped over the pet, and it was a Dalmatian, and the dog looked terrible. And we seized the dog, which is our right to do, and eventually medical tests were done by the ASPCA, and the pet was returned to the owner. The dog was suffering from a long-standing medical condition, and it was not the fault of the owner. Indeed, the pet's owner had spent thousands on the dog's welfare. But that's a case where somebody got involved. You know, I don't want to say that they should have minded their own business, because what if this had been a case like so many other cases where the animal was actually suffering at the hands of somebody's neglect. So mm-hmm. it's important for people to get involved, but I do appreciate what you're saying. Sometimes people have pets and raise them to a certain standard, and they think that, like children or anything else you do, you think that everybody should conduct themselves that way, and not everybody does. Mm-hmm. What's legal or what has to be provided in New York State is food, water, and shelter, and veterinary attention for the pet. A lot of people think your pet should be walked, or quality of life issues, like there should be human contact and physical contact, and those are all good things for a pet to have. However, they're not legally mandated. You can have a dog that doesn't necessarily, or a cat that doesn't necessarily have those quality of life issues, but as long as those core elements are being met, those are the ones addressed by the law, and that's food, water, shelter, and medical attention.
Right, and I mean, as you say, you know, perhaps this is not something that we would, do with our own animal a bit too much, but, you know, the minimum that the pet needs is food, water, and shelter. And, I mean, it's interesting when you talk about the Dalmatian episode. I think I remember seeing that. So, I mean, and that goes back to your point of, you know, reporting it even if, you know, something ultimately doesn't turn out to be a clear-cut case of neglect, because it sounds like in this case, at least you guys were able to take the animal and, you know, kind of get to the bottom of the underlying condition. And I guess, was he eventually returned to the owner after that was addressed?
Absolutely. Within the week, it was a Queens case. The pet was returned to the owner, and it was a sad case because the dog didn't live much longer because of this disease. But the fact of the matter is somebody got involved, and, you know, you can report, at least to the ASPCA, when you report that type of condition, you can remain anonymous. You don't have to give your name if you're worried about alienating your neighbors or somebody you know. You can remain anonymous, and without people getting involved, the animals would have no voice at all. And I'd rather go out to 100 cases that were unfounded, you know, that people were well-intentioned but just made a mistake, then know that an animal suffered because somebody was kind of shy or wasn't sure that they should report it.
Right. Okay, and Joe, we're going to talk some more about that and real overt cases where there has been abuse. I'm thinking particularly of the one that made nationwide news, the kitten that was put in the oven. And we'll talk more to Officer Pentangelo about that really disturbing case when we come back from a break.
All right, this is my stop, Commercial Boulevard. Yeah, that's funny. Pets in the City will be back in a New York minute. Don't go anywhere.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, all you yuppie puppies and city kitties, Pets in the City is back with more urban animals and cool cosmopolitan critters. Try saying that three times fast. Right, Diane?
Well, again, as you're hearing, Officer Pentangelo is very passionate about protecting the animals here in New York City. And as he said, don't be shy if you think that there are some red flags that you're seeing, which, you know, he told us that you see a very thin animal, you know, or someone not being provided shelter. Give 311 a call or give the ASPCA a call, you know, just to be safe. And look, worst comes to worst, they'll come check it out. And maybe if the owner needs some help properly caring for the pet, at the very least, that'll happen. But we're going to talk a little bit more to Officer Pentangelo about some of the really more dramatic and awful cases that we've been hearing in the news recently. I know a lot of our readers and listeners, Joe, have been asking us about what in the world, and that perhaps that's some of the milder language I've heard, was happening with this girl that put a kitten in the oven. What happened?
It's a Brooklyn case, and some of the details I can't go into because it's still pro juris. It's scheduled to go before a grand jury in July.
Okay.
So it's a terrible case. It was a 2-month-old kitten named Tiger Lily that was apparently, as what's reported to be part of a prank, was put in an oven, and the oven was set to 500 degrees, and the kitten was left in the oven. New York City Fire Department responded because of a smoke condition, and I'm sorry, it's a Bronx case, but the fire department responded to the apartment in the Bronx because of a smoke condition, and sadly, what was smoking was Tiger Lily. The cat was burned to death in the oven. The two suspects at that time had left the scene, and in tandem with killing Tiger Lily that way, the apartment was wrecked, again, as what's reported to be a prank. The couches were wrecked, the furniture was ripped, and bleach was thrown about the apartment, a variety of things were done. I don't know, it's not my idea of a prank, but that's how it was characterized. And so initially the fire department called the ASPCA, and the ASPCA Humane Law Enforcement began an investigation. And a short time later, the crime happened in May. A short time later, the first suspect was arrested. She was a 17-year-old, and she was arrested and charged with a variety of crimes, not only the animal cruelty, felony animal cruelty, but also charged with burglary and arson and criminal mischief for all the other crimes that occurred. The burglary charge was because it was the apartment of another person that they had entered illegally to do this destruction and cruelty to the cat. And then I guess it was last week or the week before, the other person, a 14-year-old, who had acted in concert with the 17-year-old doing these acts, was arrested. She was already in a juvenile detention facility for an unrelated matter. She was taken out of that facility and arrested by the ASPCA for her conduct in the killing of Tiger Lily and the other destructive things, the burglary. So, you know, people ask me all the time, and I know there was a firestorm of attention to this case, and people were justifiably outraged about it. There was television coverage and everything, and newspaper coverage, and people always arrive or wind up back to the point of why people do this. And I've been doing this more than a little while, and I always say the same thing. I don't know why, and it's almost comforting to not be able to arrive at a conclusion of why they do it, because it's almost, if you could find out why, it almost seems like it's a logical conclusion, and there's nothing logical about it. If you want to get to that point, I don't know how a reasonable sequence of events can bring you to that point, any reasoning process. So I don't know why they do it. I know it's something that the ASPCA has been fighting since 1866 and will continue to do so as long as we can. We have 21 arrests this year in New York City. 70 animals have been brought to our hospital for different reasons by humane law enforcement. So we continue to fight the fight, and as long as people report these things and get involved, it's great that animals have these allies. They're part of our lives, and people do find them important, and I think that's what the outrage is, that people look at their own pets. It's very much the same dynamic as either child abuse or elder abuse. They're weaker members of a household that fall prey to people who have a bullying mentality, I guess. I don't know how else to characterize it, but
the poor, just the thought of the poor animal really being cooked alive, it was really just a horrifying thought to me. But, you know, then my thoughts turned to just how young these perpetrators were. I mean, you know, 17 years old, and now, you know, I didn't know about the 14-year-old. I mean, it just, and she was, or he was already serving time, as you said, in juvie.
Right.
I just really frightens me about what kind of background these, I mean, you know, I don't know if I'm drawing the wrong conclusion, but it almost sounds like a lot of people who feel like they have been bullied look for somebody or something else to bully. I don't know if that's true in every case, but, you know,
I know. I know that in the case of the 17-year-old, she has a criminal history, and she was on probation for a crime. What was reported was it was in the Bronx, and a person was robbed at gunpoint of they had a Yorkie. They had a dog that they were walking, and the suspect, the 17-year-old, this was a separate event, was involved in that robbery. The person was robbed of their dog at gunpoint. And then the person whose dog it was that was robbed had put up a $500 reward for the return of the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the person she was involved in then returning to that person and collecting the reward for giving back the dog that she had been involved in robbing him of.
So she basically kidnapped the dog at gunpoint.
Stole it, yeah. There was some other crimes.
So this wasn't her first incident with, you know, with the brush with the law. So that's, I mean, yeah.
Neither one of them was new to the system, and it's a sad thing. You know, there's no satisfaction. It's not like the animal, the pet, the tiger lily can be rehabilitated, and you know those are the stories we really embrace are the ones where an animal is taken out of an abusive situation and medically and behaviorally fixed or made adoptable, and then the animal leads. There are stories like that, and they're great, but that's not the case in this one. This animal died a horrific death, and there's no winners in this. But I think it does cry out for justice, and it has to be. People can't think they can get away with this. And
no.
I have had people say that to me, that, oh, it's just an animal, or look at me and say incredulously, I can't believe I'm getting locked up because I did this to a dog or a cat or whatever animal. And my response is always, believe it, because there's nobody's going to wake you up and this was all just a dream. It is a serious matter, and the ASPCA takes it seriously, and there are serious consequences for it. It's a felony in some cases to abuse an animal.
And I remember one time you and I were talking about how the law can work in very interesting ways to protect an animal from an abuser. Remember you and I were talking about the incident about the woman's cat, and then her boyfriend came to live back with them or something? Remember we were talking about that a few months ago?
Remind me again, because it was a couple of cases, like in some cases the animals are treated as property
by the law.
And it'll be and some people, you know, cringe when you say that. But sometimes the law does work in favor of the animal in that case. Like, for instance, it may be a misdemeanor case of animal cruelty. It may be. But in some cases, depending on the value of the pet, you can prosecute or charge the person with a felony for the property crime, for criminal mischief as a felony, if they're worth a certain amount of money. So, as distasteful as it may be to look at animals as property, sometimes it does work out that it's the more serious offense. And in those cases, if that's the deck of cards, if those are the cards we're dealt, we'll play those cards. Because you may have a misdemeanor case of animal cruelty, but that may be compounded with a felony for the burglary, you know, of entering an apartment or a dwelling. Or you may have a felony of criminal mischief. If, let's say, the cat were worth $2,000 or $3,000, and the cat were harmed. Or the dog, or any pet that's worth that much. You know, you may have, I understand some parrots are worth a fortune.
Yep.
If you may have criminal mischief there that rises to the level of a felony.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what you have to hitch your wagon to, for lack of a better analogy, to get the more serious sentence out of, I'm all for it. And I know conversations I've had with people where you say, well, you know, if you treat the animal as property, we can do this. They cringe. But like I said, you know, sometimes it works to the advantage of the animal and I think in the interest of justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so in those cases, I guess what I'm hearing from you is, you know, you kind of have to put aside, you know, the debate between, oh, it's a companion, it's a member of the family, and, you know, if the end result is going to be this person doing more time, you know, you have to kind of work within the confines of the law, so, you know, and see, you know.
And make the law work for you. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the ingredients you have, and try to make the best that you can out of it. And sometimes it does work out for the what I think is the best, in that a more serious offense is looked at, more serious time is looked at, by the prosecutor's office.
Now, Officer Pentangelo, just one more thing along this line of talk. Is it so that now in New York City, at least, and perhaps the state, if a person gets an order of protection against somebody who may be doing violence or threatening violence against them, that that order of protection can also extend to their companion animal as well?
Yes, that is true. I believe the person, it was a Manhattan politician, I believe, if she's listening, she's going to go crazy on me, but Rosenthal, it was an assemblywoman, I believe, named Rosenthal, who wrote that. And the ASPCA had a case in Queens where there was a gentleman who had a disagreement with someone he lived with, and he was assaulted by that person. And so was Bibi, that was the dog that was assaulted. So the ASPCA got involved and made the arrest for animal cruelty, for Bibi being assaulted. And when the Queens District Attorney's Office wrote up the case, Bibi was afforded an order of protection as well as the pet's owner. And that made worldwide news. The case, the dog's name was Bibi. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge case. It was several years ago. But it was the first case in the world, I believe, but I know in New York, wherein a pet was afforded that protection. And it's been done several times. After that, I guess people realized they could do it. It became the law of the land, and it's a very useful tool, because people want, you know, if they have a dispute with somebody, or if they're of that mind where they want to scare you or do violence to a person, they also sometimes strike out at what's dear to that person. Pets are very dear to people. So, unfortunately, very often pets find themselves in the middle of these matters. There was a case in Brooklyn that the New York City Police Department prosecuted recently. They made an arrest last week where a gentleman, I believe it was a domestic violence case, and he flushed a family pet down the toilet.
Oh, my God.
As part of this dispute that he was having, or whatever was upsetting. I guess he wanted to intimidate the members of the household. And one of the crimes he committed was aggravated animal cruelty by flushing the pet down the toilet. And the New York City Police Department arrested him and charged him, along with the other charges, with aggravated animal cruelty for flushing the pet down the toilet. That's why the order of protection is so important, because animals find themselves in the middle of this. They're not always the main target, but sometimes they're collateral damage, as it were. And they're not part of whatever drama is going on in the relationship. The pet shouldn't be part of it.
I mean, it sounds, you know, not to, I'm going to get killed for this, but it's not unlike, you know, a child being caught in the middle of some kind of dispute between adults, and, you know, and it's just very sad, but it's
right. There's a tug of war going on, and sometimes, like I say, I want to strike, if I really want to get to somebody, and I know, you know, you may have a book collection that's really dear to you, so in order to hurt you, I may burn your book collection. If you have a pet that's really dear to you, I may harm the pet just to get at you.
Right.
And this is not an inanimate object. This is a living thing that has no place in this dispute. You know, people should be mature enough to work these things out themselves, and certainly not get other living things involved.
Now, Officer Pentangelo, I know one of your more rewarding parts of the job is to be able to come into a situation and have it, you know, for lack of a better term, have a happy ending. Is there one in particular that you can describe to us that really kind of stays with you, and when it's a particularly hard day, you kind of keep it in your mind and it keeps you going?
Well, there's a lot of good ones. I mean, it is sort of a selfish pleasure. You know, when you look at an animal that's been rehabilitated, and that's the main thing. Mm-hmm. But there was a case in Queens. It was a chow that had an embedded collar. And the collar apparently had been put on the dog when the dog was smaller, younger, and then the dog was neglected. So the dog literally grew around the collar. The dog's flesh and muscle had grown around the collar.
Didn't it occur to the person that as the dog grew, they probably should get a larger collar?
Well, maybe it occurred to them after they were arrested and prosecuted for it. I don't know, but it certainly was neglect of the highest order, and because of it, the dog was severely compromised.
Yeah.
Muscle. We had pictures that were in the Daily News of the before photographs of the dog and the pet. You know how a chow's face looks. It was like a picture of two different chows. One side of the face was normal, and the other side of the face was affected by certain muscles of atrophy, had atrophied, I think, and everything. It's a terrible case. At any rate, the dog was unable to bark because of the collar digging into his throat, the windpipe, and the pet owner
could even breathe. My God.
Yeah, and I don't know how long the collar had been left on, but certainly imagine, putting on a belt when you're 5 years old and then leaving that belt on until the time you're 20, without adjustment. I mean, it's an amazing thing.
I know in my case, I'd probably be cut in half, so.
Well, I mean, it's just an amazing thing. It's neglect. It's like if you looked up neglect in the dictionary, this would be illustrative of it, How do you not see this dog's collar, and how do you not see the residual problems that the collar not being adjusted or taken off caused? But at any rate, that dog was, the person was arrested by the ASPCA, and the dog was taken in after several surgeries, because the dog had literally grown around the collar. After several surgeries to address that, the dog was adopted and lives with somebody who's apparently saw the dog's plight in the Daily News and renamed the dog. The dog was named Lumpy, I guess, by the owner because of the misshapen face the dog had, which was a result of this neglect.
Again, yet another sign that there's something wrong with this
right.
dog.
Imagine naming your animal punching bag because you hit him a lot. It really is an amazing thing. But at any rate, that person was prosecuted, by the way, and convicted. But at any rate, that dog was adopted, and I saw, after photographs a year later, the dog lived in this idyllic place in I believe it was either Delaware or Maryland. They had the family had seen the dog in the paper and was upset and wanted to do what they could to help him. So they transported this dog and adopted him and transported him to this great place where he lives. And that's one of those cases where you think about, and it is rare. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to make that say that that's illustrative of all our cases, but it is a great thing to know. It may seem like nothing, what's going on in the world and nuclear threats and all this other stuff, but to empirically affect that dog's life that way is just it's an amazing thing. So few things in life work out that way. And, had the dog just died and something like that, who would have known anyway? I mean, we've had cases where we got a report of a dog one time, and again in Queens, of a dog that had been starved to death. And when we arrived there, the person was around the corner burying the dog.
Oh, my God.
To try to avoid detection. And the ASPCA officers saw them burying the dog, covering it with trash and burying it in a hole. But that didn't happen in this case. This is one of those cases where it really worked out, and it made a difference. It made all the difference in the world to that dog, and this family probably benefited as much as the dog did, having that feeling of doing that much. So, in the scheme of things, it may seem like nothing, but I'm sure it's a Lumpy. It meant a lot.
You know what? Each of us can only take care of our corner of the world, and hopefully in the larger vision of things. I mean, I really honestly believe, so you were able to intervene and save Lumpy's life, and then he was able to go on to live a good life, and I'm sure bringing a lot of joy to the family that he's with now. So
yeah, they put him on, I saw it, they put him on their Christmas cards.
It disseminates, he brings joy to other people now.
Yeah.
So, you know.
The guy that was locked up was, I still remember his name, his last name, but it was carried in the Newsday and the Daily News, and the picture was, I think, the thing that drove people, because it was really an obscene how the dog's face had become misshapen, you know. But that was it.
But that's one you could put in the win column.
Oh, absolutely. all around, except for the suspect, I guess.
Right. Yeah, we don't care much about it.
Although, you know, he may have won because he may have learned something, you know, at the very least. If you don't think you're a good pet owner, don't get pets, you know.
Yeah, to say the least. I definitely say in his case that would be true. Oh, my goodness. But so, Officer Pentangelo, I really want to thank you for visiting with us today. And again, if someone actually assesses that they see some of the red flags that you spoke of earlier, what's the best way to get in touch with you or one of your colleagues who might be able to?
If they're in New York City, they can call the ASPCA toll-free. And it's 1-877-THE-ASPCA. I know there's an extra digit on there. Don't worry about it. It'll go through. So it's 1-877-THE-ASPCA.
Okay.
And that's a hotline. It's manned from Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And there's another number that people can call. It's the ASPCA's Animal Cruelty Hotline. It's 212-876-7700, and the extension is 4450. And again, people can elect to remain anonymous, or they can leave their name. But also, you can call the police. If you live outside of New York, you could try to access your local SPCA or Humane Society, or call the police. Again, animal cruelty is a crime in all 50 states.
What I wanted to also ask you is, what is the important information that someone should have on hand when they call you? Is it like a minimum amount of information that's helpful to you?
The most important thing is a location, like the backyard of, with an address, or very often an address isn't enough, especially in New York City, because you have multiple unit apartments.
Right.
And you may have 100 families or 100 apartments in one building. So it's good to try to get as much, like any other crime, just think of it as any other crime. Think of it that you were reporting any other crime, because it is a crime. And again, the more information you have, the better. So if you have an automobile that an animal is trapped in, or an automobile that struck a pet and then left the scene, the color of the vehicle, the direction they were going, the plate number. I'm not trying to turn people into junior detectives, you know, but as much information as possible is what's important. Sometimes people are excited, and I understand that, and they get frustrated when our operators are asking them these questions, but they're not asking them to harass you. They're asking you these questions because we want to get to the right place as fast as possible. There's a guy down there on Third Avenue doing this really doesn't cut it. I understand that, you know, people are well intentioned, but even if it's an intersection, that's something. You know, it'd be much better off to say the northwest corner of this intersection. But whatever specifics about the crime and the animal itself. And sometimes people are frustrated. They call us, and I think they're frustrated about other animal issues. You know, their neighbor's dog maybe doesn't stop barking, maybe has separation anxiety or something. What the ASPCA does and is happy to do is investigate animal cruelty. But there are other animal issues like canine waste and things like that that are the purview of city agencies.
Right.
The ASPCA is not a city agency. A lot of people are confused about that. We don't get any government funding. It's all donation. It's a charity. We do have the right and to enforce the law, but we are not a governmental agency. We're happy to address these issues of animal cruelty and have the public as a partner in doing that.
So abuse, neglect, cruelty, definitely call Officer Pentangelo or one of his colleagues. Poop, excessive barking, or things of that nature, don't call Officer Pentangelo. That's something
I mean, there are, I understand that they're serious issues. Sometimes they're not cruelty to animals, like I say to people, but they are cruelty to neighbors. You know, nobody wants a live in a place that's, you know, just unbearable because of canine waste and things like that. And there are access to the right places for that by, I think, simply calling 311. But if you do see animal cruelty, the ASPCA is happy to know about it and address it.
No, thank you for making that distinction. And thank you for being with us this morning, Officer Pentangelo. I know you're
getting the word out.
Well, I know you're always on the case and appreciate it. And hopefully we could check back with you every so often and see what you're doing.
That would be my pleasure.
Okay. Thank you so much, Officer Pentangelo.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, this is my stop, Commercial Boulevard. Yeah, that's funny. Pets in the City will be back in a New York minute. Don't go anywhere.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
From Paris, New York, and around the globe, get ready for the hip, the trendy, the uber cool where pets rule. If you've got a passion for pet fashion and a flair for animal wear, this is the ultimate place to take a peek at what's chic in the world of designer pet fashion and cool new pet products. The Pet Set, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, all you yuppie puppies and city kitties, Pets in the City is back with more urban animals and cool cosmopolitan critters. Try saying that three times fast. Right, Diane?
And that'll about do it for this week's show of Pets in the City on Pet Life Radio. As always, thank you for listening. Wanted to let you know about some fun things that are happening. This weekend coming, I am going to be busy, busy, busy. But if you'd like to come by and see me, you can stop by Fido Brooklyn's annual Pupnic. Yes, that's a picnic with a U. And that is going to be this Friday, June 26th, in the Nethermead in Prospect Park, Brooklyn. And if you'd like some more information about that, you could go to FidoBrooklyn.org. And then on Saturday, June 27th, I am going to be judging the first annual Mr. or Ms. Chihuahua pageant, and that is going to be a lot of fun. And that's going to be at Happy Paws down on Lafayette Street in right off of Houston, right in the village there. So please do stop by. There's going to be a lot of other great summer events coming up. If you'd like to know more about them, you could visit the New York Tales website at www.newyorktales.com. That's New York Tales magazine that it's my other hat. If you want to know some more about Officer Pentangelo and some of the numbers and resources that he gave us, I will post them on the Pet Life Radio Pets in the City site, which is PetLifeRadio.com. And while you're there, definitely listen to some of our other colleagues, including Ada Nieves, who has beat a doggy and whose contest is actually the Chihuahua contest I'll be at. So we're good buds. Come see us both if you're in the neighborhood. And that'll about do it. Diane West signing off from the greatest city in the world, New York City. Pets in the City on Pet Life Radio. I thank producer Mark Winter once again for helping me sound great. And I also urge you to please look at some of our great sponsors who keep us on the air and a lot of great products and services they offer. Signing off this week and tune in next week.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Muttropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.